Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens. This is part two of a two-part recap. If you're like, hey, wait a minute, I didn't hear part one. Guys, it's because we put out a lot of recaps. Go back and listen to part one, okay? It's before this one. Bye. Enjoy the show.
So let's go to Benny and Mary's.
Oh, yes. Here we go. This is what I live for. Heather and her mother, Carol, arrive. And then Shannon joins, and Carol is great, because first of all, Carol is like sharp as a tack. And another thing we didn't talk about was,
Shannon's like dad. One too.
And she
stabs, yes. Little tack stabs.
Yes. She's like, oh, Heather, well, thanks for bringing me to yet another restaurant in this wretched county that doesn't have purse stools. It's like, mother, I told you, we're still literally working to catch up.
They never stop with each other. Wow, I like stairs. You do not like stairs, mother. Why are you pretending you like these stairs? You hate stairs. I never said I hate stairs. You've always said you hated stairs. Ugh, why is my mother such a liar? Compulsive.
So Carol, Shannon comes and Carol's like, oh, you look wonderful. You're getting younger. You're like Benjamin Button.
Thank you for that. I unfortunately am not allowed to wear buttons on my clothing because they contain heavy metals that could be toxic to my skin.
She just starts
coughing.
Sorry,
I think you misunderstood me. I meant Benjamin Button at the beginning of the movie.
Oh, wow. That's great. Thank you, Carol. By the way, I have that exact outfit. I wear it to the pool.
You feel like Carol's outfit? I was like, this is the quintessential older rich woman outfit. It's just
it was so to great. Me. I was like, this is Westchester kind of Wasp outfit
with jewels, kind of bedeweled to
something on the shoulder
to the collar. I mean, I do think that Shannon has that outfit, and they all showed up wearing black. It was just such a funny scene to me. Everything about this scene was gold.
And like, I mean, Carol is definitely Heather's mother to me. I was like, oh my God, this is where I grew up. You know, I literally, you know, they talk about Chappaqua. Chappaqua was just down the highway from me. It was like a few stops down. It was where my favorite sushi restaurant was. That's where I would go. And so I see Carol and I'm like transported to these ladies of Westchester of my childhood. It's like the ladies of Westchester, the ladies of my synagogue. It's all mixed in together. They went to the synagogue that was like, there was a synagogue that was there's like two synagogues in town, and like I went to one, they went to the other one, you know. So it's just like, oh, it's just so I'm just like
synagogue ladies
rivals, because I went to some bar bat mitzvahs there. But to me, it's just like it's just so it's like how you have these moments of recognition when you see certain people from like your neck of the woods when you grew up. It's like this is totally what I grew up around, and it's so funny to me. And so Shannon sits down. She has that chronic phlegmy cough, so she's and you just see Carol's face. This they let sit
Carol
at the table.
A full hand to her chest, like oh. And I thought she was going to be mortified by the cough, as you know, you would be. Or, yes. I would be. But she's like, Shannon goes, oh, I wanted to tell you, you know, my mom, she gets these coughing jags too. So she has a remedy. Okay, mom, go ahead. That was your cue. Mother,
we
stop fucking up
this,
my cue.
Mother.
She's like, oh, I've got it. The remedy is tequila.
Oh, well, if tequila cured things, I'd be a ham. But thank you, Carol.
The other remedy is a daughter who pays a visit once in a while. Mother, that's not part of the script. What can I say? I'm a comic genius.
Well, Happy Gilmore's mother doesn't have a cough.
I don't know who that is.
Wasn't that him? Who played Happy Gilmore? Adam Sandler. Adam Sandler?
Oh, right.
Mother who always went to visit his mother.
Over in Quag. It's like, she would go. You know, Adam Sandler. So Vicky shows up and she's like, it's really nice for me to find other people that love Puerto Vallarta the way I do, because Carol's house is actually right up the hill. And so apparently Carol has a house in Puerto Vallarta up the hill from Vicky, which does not match with my perception of Carol. Like, I do not see Carol living in Puerto Vallarta, but apparently she does. And apparently Vicky visits with her. It's a little strange.
Yeah, that is weird. That's a weird piece of lore. So
it doesn't match
new lore. It doesn't make any sense. So she's like, yeah, there's been a few times when I was having lunch and she was there, and I'm like, whoa, Carol, whoa. Hey, Carol, can I ask you a question? Who do I got to whoop it up to get a woohoo around here? All right. And she would just roll her eyes and call me a Debbie Downer. We had to skate.
So Heather is like, Shannon, I've noticed you're looking more haggard than usual, given that you have a baseline of haggardness. So I brought you some skincare. Hold on. Let me bring up this giant bag that says DeBro for some reason. Here it is, my custom bag. Where is it? Let me look. Is it under the Tiffany jewelry, the Harry Winston, the takeout from Nobu? I know I have this skincare in here somewhere.
Hey, I've got a little vial of something that you need. Plenty of skincare. Just go find it. Any skincare. I don't care. Noxzema, water. Just try something. Here it is. I found it. Try anything.
Try anything.
How? Thank you very much for that. I didn't ask for it. Does this have any electromagnetic radioactivity in it? Because that will not be good for my skin.
Oh, by the way, woohoo! I'm done with the process of becoming a Mexican resident. Now I just have to learn Spanish faster. I really want to learn to go into the neighborhoods and say, do you belong here? I'm calling ICE. I'll learn it. It's coming slowly. Oh,
Vicky, now that you speak Spanish, maybe it will work to give a recommendation to Shannon. How do you say La Roche-Posay in Spanish? So,
well,
Shannon's
Carol, I'm going to need to exchange numbers with you because you seem to have a lot of remedies for things. And Heather goes, oh, my two doctor friends, all with the remedies. Carol's like, well, I was going to be a doctor once, but they said, I'm sorry, you're too attractive. You're going to make the boy, you're going to take a boy's place? I don't think so.
Mother, no one said this to you. You've never been found attractive. Well, seriously, no, I was. I was an A student. Okay, well, we'll just let that go. Okay, she just always telling tall tales of being a hot, young, wannabe doctor.
No, it's true. You know, one time Heather got out of the doctor, and I picked her up, and I took her for ice cream. And the man who was scooping it told me, single? It's wherever I go, I'm telling you.
Believe it or not, it used to be called Ben and Carol's, but I was just too attractive for the ice creams they brought in. Jerry and kicked me out. What can I say?
No one ever told that. Seriously, it happened. I look fabulous. Listen, I had a gorgeous black jacket. That was her first Chanel pick. Just, that wasn't my first Chanel pick. I had the jacket and you got the jacket.
I had Chanel before you had Chanel, mother. No, I had Chanel before you had Chanel. I had the Chanel. You had the Chanel. Wait, are you using reverse psychology on me? You can't do that to me, mother. I'm the Chanel influencer around here. Cut to Gina in her house.
Yes, doctor, like, mother to you.
Cut to Gina telling her mom, Mom, I had the Tupperware before you had the Tupperware.
Cut to Gina going,
I had the channel first. No, I had the channel first. No, I had the channel first. Put it back on Entertainment Tonight.
It's like a rabbit ears TV.
I love this. Like,
guess what? With my mom, I was the first one to buy flip-flops from the drugstore. Now, I was the first one to buy the flip-flops from the drugstore, Gina.
We both shoplifted the flip-flops from the drugstore. Okay. So Heather's like, my mother is never wrong. I don't even know why I bother wasting the breath. I should just smile and nod. This has been my whole life.
You know what? Heather, she was such a good little girl. She always came home with a list of names of new friends. She wouldn't actually have the friends. She just had the name of the friends. It was so adorable.
It was so sweet. And let me tell you,
None of the other girls reciprocated. Heather was never on anyone's list growing up.
Oh, what age was this?
Well, let's see, Heather, how old are you now? Whatever age Heather was, subtract 2 years. That's how old she was.
Well, it was in fourth grade, and I went to pick her up at this girl's house. Oh, they took a walk. A walk. You don't take a walk in Chappaqua. You're on a main road. And there they are, coming down singing. I said, she's never going there again. Never going again after that. A main road, my daughter.
My daughter walking on 133? No, thank you. Like, you like me flexing my knowledge of the local roads in Chappaqua?
I do. Is it really dangerous?
It's just a main, the speed limit's probably 45. It's not like
it
a little.
It just sounds like nothing bad happens in Chappaqua. On the, you know what I mean? It's, I just don't feel like I've ever, I don't think I've ever heard anybody being like, whoa, those roads in Chappaqua.
you know what space in Chappaqua, other than the Clintons, is Reader's Digest. It used to be headquartered there until, I think, I don't know what's going on with Reader's Digest.
God.
But, that's a,
you know, yeah. You just made so many people think of just being on the pot and taking a poop, because that's where the Reader's Digest is.
By the way,
you know? That's the first thing I think is my grandpa with the stack of Reader's Digest on his toilet.
And by the way, two concepts that
were in there. Literature.
Well, it all came from Chappaqua. Two concepts that you're not really going to get in Orange County, reading and digesting. So Carol is like, I'm never allowing her to have friends in Chappaqua. So
all right, let's go to Vegas flight. The Vegas flight. Okay. So Tamara and Heather arriving to the airport, and Emily comes. Now Emily has her knee wrapped. And Tamara's like, oh my God, how'd you fall off an e-bike, you fucking idiot?
She's like, well, there was an e-bike there. I'm a fucking Luke. Insisted on driving it first, and I fell off the e-bike. It's all Luke's fault. I could have died.
Yeah. Now I'm just here. I'm going to have to spend this whole time in Vegas just limping around. Limping curtain. Dun, 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 dun. I actually made up that line. She never said anything about limping. I just was like, I don't know when I'll have a chance.
You're just going to get it in there. We still got 2/3 of this show to go. Like, what if we
there better be
an hour or something?
There better be a kinetic presence. I better hear something that sound that has Lynn or sounds like Lynn somewhere in the word, because I just was afraid we wouldn't get the third pun in.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So Vicky comes. She's also limping, of course, because it's been happening a lot. And Emily's like, "Oh, look, Vicky and I can limp together. We can both be Debbie Downers. I'm not a Debbie Downer."
Carmela, meanwhile, decided to take a page out of Kyle's book, Kyle Richards, and she's got a fear of flying. Everyone, and she goes, "When I started working for Playboy, I just remember having like panic attacks the whole 5 hours from Cleveland to LAX, and." I think that it's like leaving home and leaving my comfort zone, and I'm very OCD, and I don't like to leave my kids or my dogs at home. Like, it's always afraid of something is going to happen. It's hard. Like, you know, I honestly don't need to hear the history of why you're afraid of, like, you could just be afraid of flying and I understand the rest. Like, afraid of flying is not some crazy thing. I just read a story last night about how Ryanair just settled with something or came to the end of an investigation because a bird went into one of its engines and like a part of the engine broke off and crashed through a window and a passenger got halfway sucked out the window and he had to be pulled back in. So I'm like, you don't have to explain why you're afraid of flying. You don't have to tell me why, like, it's because it stems from OCD and you might miss your dog. You're just
it's just a somewhat reasonable fear. It's like, you know what I'm afraid of? Someone coming in and murdering me. Yeah, that's like, that's
I think it might be my OCD
thing. Yeah. You know what I'm really afraid of? Being burned alive. Well, that's reasonable. It's because I was in the Playboy Mansion when I was very young, and I had to go there from a flight from the Midwest, and I had OCD. And I really need to be, it's like, okay, So we get it. You need the housewives thing, so you're going to be afraid of flights. But when she says, yeah, I can't be away from my children. Didn't you get a whole place away from your children during the week? Or did her children live in the place with her? No, the kids go to school in the other place. Anyway,
they don't even go to school.
I don't. Well, remember? They do sometimes. Who needs school when you've got people offering to buy you shit in the Walgreens? That was the plot line. She's like, yeah, this guy was going to buy me the lipstick in the Walgreens.
They arrive, they land, and then there's like a showgirl, like a classic showgirl that's like, welcome, I'm Bree from Girls Night Out Getaways, or as we call it, GNOG, Gnog. So, we're going to have a great time. We're going to turn you guys all into Vegas showgirls. Get on the bus. So, Jen is like,
I'm sorry, I had to put the mic down. This is like a handheld mic. You know, in the hotel. And so I have to hold it and I had to, you know, groom. So I had to put the mic down. Sorry about that. But the showgirl welcomes them. They're going to take a showgirl class. They're super excited. And Jen's like, oh my God, after the wine party, we need to have some fun. Who doesn't want to be a lead showgirl when in Vegas?
So Tamara's like,
I'm not expected to be a head showgirl at 58 years old. I may be the hottest of this bunch, but I'm not gonna be a showgirl, bitch.
And Vicky is like, I don't even know how we're gonna do this. Like I'm not doing a high kick with one leg. I'll probably fall over. So now they go to shots. Now let me see Vegas, and they arrive at the showgirl boot camp experience, and we meet Stacy. I love Stacey. You know, she's been there for like 40 years. She's like, let me show you how
Stacey was my favorite. Yeah, she was like, hey, everybody, welcome to Showgirls class. Here's what you do. It takes a certain kind of grace to be a showgirl.
I know. I've been doing this. I started at the Sands Casino. What is the Sands Casino? It's dust. That's what they should call it because they tore it down. Anyway, 3, 2, 1, places.
Are they in the class yet? Oh yeah, they are. Yeah. So, Shannon's like, what is this? What if I fall? Ooh. And, they get their makeup done and Emily's like,
Jen, if Ryan said, let's go to the little chapel and get married, would you say yes?
She's like, no, I need my kids there. I need my kids there. Who's going to drive through the front window of the chapel and crash it everywhere? If not for Grayson. Who's gonna start the wedding chapel on fire? I need my kids.
And Carmela's like, I just don't think you should get married right now. You should just like pause because I think it's like a lot of pressure. It's like, yeah, it's like it's the feeling for my kids. Like I want them to know that we're home. Yeah, it's like maybe just like a conversation. Like Ryan and I are together and we love each other and this is a safe, stable home. Why are you guys are getting put into like crazy showgirl makeup. Why are you having this conversation right now? Why are like you've got like feathers coming out of their head and like, yeah, I really don't think you should elope at the little chapel. No, the McBees did that last week. You don't need to do it this week. It's fine.
Yeah, we don't need it. We do not need it. But also her saying like, oh, I just want to get married for my kids. You just had your kid on camera crying his eyes out because you were divorced from the dad in the first place and he can't adjust to the divorce. And now you're like, I have to do this for my kids. I need to get married. Jen, listen to the damn kids. Carmella's like, my anxiety comes from wanting to give my kids safety and stability because of what I haven't had in the past. It's very touching. So then, meanwhile, they're still getting like feathers put on and glitter everywhere. And Stacy's like, all right, I want to introduce you to Peter. He's the costumer. And it's like Lisa Kudrow's gay from The Comeback, RIP. The guy who was her sister, this guy, just following her around like, you're great, honey, everything you do is perfect.
This guy Peter, he's been through it all too. He's like, okay, we're gonna pin you, we're gonna nip you, and we're gonna tuck you and make you look like $1 million. Trust me, babe, when I was 27 years old, I did this shit on Broadway, Jerome Robbins Broadway specifically. I was there. Now I'm here, so get in. Nip, tuck, suck. Yes, nip, tuck, suck. We like that. So,
not the suck. That's extra. This is Vegas. All right.
So then we see
them putting on their G-strings and stuff. Thing. And Heather's like, oh, I don't know about a G-string. Okay. And Gina's like, is there like a full brief option?
Is there an I feel bad option? So they're like, all they spend a long time getting in the costume. Vicky is really annoyed about her knee. She just wants her knee to be better. And then Gina and Emily have this moment, and Gina's like,
obviously at dinner, it was like a little tense between you and I.
Yeah, I had to tell you to stay out of it because you were so aggressive.
I didn't like that, and I want to talk to you about that. But like even more important, I went to lunch with Heather the other day, and you know, we're rooming together. And she's like,
well, was there an option that we weren't? Like, what do you mean?
Yeah, Heather brought up that it bothers her that we room together.
I love that she's like, we have there's a real big beef between the two of us right now, and we're not on the same page, and we need to be on the same page. But more importantly, look what Heather did. Isn't she the worst?
Yeah, it's her. She's like, I'm going to pretend like I have a beef with Emily, but I'm just going to do a regular old scene of trying to trigger Emily into going to fight somebody. You know, it's like, oh, here's the next person we're going to fight. Heather, she's jealous. So then we see the flashback of Heather, you know, saying, well, whenever it comes up that you and Emily share a room, a lot of the girls, including myself, get triggered. We're very triggered. You guys, you know, you guys get to talk ad nauseum. What about the rest of us? Who am I supposed to talk to? Besides Reba McEntire, besides Blair from Facts of Life. I mean, someone here. Who does Heather have at the end of the day?
I mean, what am I supposed to do? Call Christy McNichol in the middle of the night? Wake her up from her sleep outside the convention house, the convention hall, trying to get into the sign autographs for the people? No, I'm not going to do that. I mean, what she's really saying.
Well, that's just Heather trying to control things. She doesn't want us together because she doesn't know what we're saying, and she doesn't have control, and she wants to listen to every little thing we say.
No, I mean, I think Heather might be saying, you and Emily are constantly, or you and Gina are constantly teaming up against people, and it's not really fair. We all go to dinner and we're fine, and then you two go off together, and then you decide who you're going to be mad at, and then someone is yelled at the next night at dinner, and it's usually me. So could we stop this and just break them up for a minute?
Yes, exactly. That's 100%. I mean, she literally says, you guys get to talk ad nauseum. I mean, there it is. So, and now they're like, well, she just wants to control things. She wants to control. And Gina's like,
I just think Heather's always in an endless pursuit to find a buddy. And you like trying to break up our friendship and our room, it like makes me like not want to be a buddy.
I just feel like also like Gina is acting like almost empathetic to Heather. Like Heather just wants a buddy. But I also feel like every time Heather becomes friends with someone, Gina's the first one to be like,
why are you doing that? Like, I don't trust your friend. Like, I feel like she's always undermining those friendships.
Now, I wish I had some hard evidence on that. I mean, I wish there was something where I could point to. I mean, there was the time where Heather did try to dress up Gina as her own little doll, her own little my buddy. And I was like, wait a second. Or even Gina was like, I don't want to be like this. But I feel like, don't be empathetic to Heather's desire to find a friend and then also undermine her. I know it's a flimsy argument because
she's
saying
she's empathetic, but at the same time, she's trying to get Emily to go yell at Heather. So,
yeah.
That's really all we need for now.
Now they are coming out in costume and they're in their headdresses, and it's like, it's funny. And then Shannon is like eating some Reese's. She's like, well,
isn't it funny that I bitch about how fat I am and then I eat a Reese's? I know. Oh, God. Oh. So then
and Vicky's putting her headdress on going, I wonder what's going on at Kodo Insurance today. I just can't stop thinking about work. I'm a work girl. I'm a show girl. And I'm proud of it. You know what? Get a job.
They all line up. Stacy shows them some moves. They all sort of do a thing. Their arms are out. They walk forward. They walk backward. They do a little thing. It's like a fun little bit that goes on way too long. And then afterwards, Vicky's Shannon's like, I don't.
Losing my balance.
Difficult. Can I stand on heels? And Vicky's like, I dare anybody, especially Emily, to call me a Debbie Downer right now. She just won't stop with the Debbie Downer.
I know.
Just stop, please. I beg you.
And then Emily's like, see, this is what I want. I want that Victoria. She's iconic. So now they go to Caesar's Palace. And you know, it's killing Heather to be like adjacent to the Nobu Tower, but not actually be in it. And the guy is like, welcome to Caesar's Palace. We've got sky villas in the Octavius Tower. And, oh my God. Wow, the sky villas are like so beautiful. There's like a part of me that feels like, is this the way the Dubrows live? And Heather's like, I mean, not really. I mean, this is basically like flying premium plus. Okay, show me Delta One.
Now they're discussing rooms. And of course, Emily says that she and Gina are going to room together. And we see a flashback to Tamara being like, what's your roommate situation? And Heather's saying, I told Gina that she and Emily can't stay together. So now we're going to have a fight because Emily and Gina want to stay in the same room. And now Heather's going to be upset about it. So Tamara tells him, you guys, you're in trouble for room together. I don't know if you should room together because the brother doesn't like it. And Emily goes, if someone thinks it's a problem, then it's a their problem.
It's a show problem if this is the best you can do. So Tamara, Tamara's got, she's looking around. She's like, oh, look at this. This is nice. We got a dining room table for kids to don't eat, bitch. And then Tamara suggests that they give Carmela the suite because she's new to the group. And Vicky's like, but what about us? Like, where are we sleeping? I'm not going to sleep on the street. You're maybe sleep outside on the street. I won't do that. I won't do that. And Tamara's like,
oh, there's like two big bedrooms over there, bitch. We'll go there.
So Vicky's like, you know what? Tamara's up to something. You want me to be Bunsy Wunsy with Carmela? Then why don't you be Bunsy Wunsy with Carmela? You do it first. Maybe then I'll do it. You know, like maybe if I see someone being friends with a slut, then I'll be friends with a slut. But not until then.
Oh, I mean, if Carmela just bought insurance from Vicky, she'd love her to death.
It's like, okay, well, okay. If I don't sit down soon, I'm going to decapitate my leg. So then we go into Gina and Emily's room. And now they're going to have a heart-to-heart. So Gina's like, what's going on with Heather?
Yeah, we've been rooming together since I met you. What is she doing? Trying to break us up?
Oh, God. Yeah, she drives a wedge. She drives a wedge.
Well, you can't even drive a wedge. They're covered in blue cheese.
No, a wedge. To saying, listen, Emily, I'm telling you, when I went to lunch with Heather, she was like, you were soft on Emily, and I don't like that you guys are like, I thought you should be mean to Emily. She's really coming for you, Emily.
It's like, well, you know, I don't like when Heather has an issue with me, but then she makes persuasive arguments to other people.
That's literally what you just did with this Carmela thing. When you had a problem with the purse, then you called Heather about having a problem with the purse, then you made Gina have a problem with the purse, and then you told on Gina for having a problem with the purse.
Yeah, exactly. So Gina's like, you know what?
I do regret getting into it at dinner. I do. Like,
what?
I'm sorry to laugh. I was just thinking, this life, it's so funny what we sit here and do. Like, and then she got mad at Heather. And then, you know, this whole thing. And then they were mad about the purse. And then I get myself so upset. I'm like, who are you and what are you doing?
So then now they start talking about themselves, like their relationship. She's like, you know, I'm like, sorry, I feel bad. Like, you know, because you're like a strong personality. I'm like, I feel bad about, like, you know, dinner and everything. And like sometimes, like, you know, when you're defending yourself, you're like very aggressive. And I don't know why you went and told Carmela about the bag thing.
Why is that a problem? I didn't know that was a secret. You're going to tell me that that's like confidential?
Emily, you were being a shitty friend. And we all see it. It's all on camera. You can try to spin it however you want, but we have us.
So, and also when either of them confronts each other, they both use the same wording, like, you were aggressive. And now scenes later, Gina's like, you were aggressive. And then when you went and talked a bunch of shit about me, when all I was doing was being curious about a gift. Yeah, you were not just being curious about the shit. You two are so full of it. I can't. So they keep this talking like themselves into
Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, craziness. Guildenstein, whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So basically they agree to disagree because this isn't a real fight anyway. I don't know why we're going to get worked up about it. It's stupid. So they're back together and now their anger is turned at Heather.
Yeah. I think, by the way, this was totally a fight to be like, look, we don't always have each other's backs, guys. So now we go, speaking of Heather, we go to Jen and Heather and Shannon, and they're in this suite,
And Shannon's like, do you hear that noise? Do you hear that noise, Jen? Listen carefully. Buddy, Jen, listen. Do you hear it? Over by the wall. It's in the walls. I swear to God. Look at... Okay, do we have any Christmas lights? Okay, I swear, if we hang some Christmas lights, the elevator's going to talk to us. Look at it, Jen. Look, it's electromagnetic goes from the other side.
I think that the girl from Stranger Things is stuck in the wall. No one's seen her for a long time.
I know this may sound far-fetched, but I think there's a portal to another dimension. It has doors. They open up, but you go in, and then it swallows you up, and you go to a different place. Shannon, that's just an elevator. Oh, I didn't realize.
There's a box. You go into the box. There's buttons. What button do you push? I don't know what button to push. It's straight to hell. It's the elevator.
It's still the elevator.
The girl from Ipanema is playing. I don't even know what to do with it.
It's numbers, just a cascade of numbers. But then strangely, there's one number that's just an L, and L's not a number unless it's Roman numerals. What sort of sick game is this?
There's nothing wrong with this room. I mean, what is wrong with this room is that Heather got a better room in Shannon's opinion, and now Shannon's upset that she doesn't have the best room.
Which is true, because Shannon's like,
I'm not a room hound, but I have a high, I used to have high EMFs at my house, and I just need to sleep somewhere else. I cannot sleep around high EMF. I can't do it.
And then we see a flashback to her and her first season walking through her house and a guy testing for electromagnetic frequencies with a little thing. And he's like, whoop. Here's one, Shannon. It's right on the bed.
Oh, well, of course, it's on my side of the bed. I told you. I told you I'm not crazy.
Heather, do you want to move your room? Yeah, can you move your stuff into Jen's room, please? And Heather's like, I'm already unpacked. Absolutely not. No way. And this is when Heather, you know, she tries to be like, I'm a cool girl. I'm a joiner. I love showgirl stuff. I've got champagne. But the real Heather is like, absolutely not. If there are electromagnetic frequencies, they won't hurt you because your brain's already rotted. Good night.
Well, everyone's getting pissed at me. This is bullshit. This is bullshit. Some people have real, real allergies to electromagnetic frequencies. And this is an ableist. I will not take this.
I never fight for the room, but I didn't get involved in the choice. And Heather goes into the room and goes, oh, are you staying here? And she goes, well, I just took off my shoes and Jen should have the primary. And it's just like, why am I not involved in the choice? Like, why do they stick me next to the portal to another dimension that's giving me electromagnetic poisoning?
I don't know if anyone's checked my Instagram, not to get political, but I am pro-choice. And everybody knows that. What I mean is I should have a choice in my room. And that's period. I just don't understand this. I love
it. They're all so used to Shannon being an asshole. Heather just goes, keep your room.
Does anyone have a purse stool for Shannon's brain that's been turned into mush by the elevator? Just put it right there on a jar. We can all look at it.
I'm trying not to let it ruin my trip, but then I was unpacking, and then oh, my back room's up to the elevator, and every time the elevator goes, clank, I mean, that is pure electromagnetic radiation.
And then it just cuts to the room, and it's just silent. It's like, no electromagnetic radiation.
Meanwhile, you're in a casino surrounded by slot machines and smoke and booze. There's like literally nothing but toxins down there. But but the elevator,
that's the real problem here. The whole city is built on lights. All you see are lights everywhere. The walls are light. Everything is air conditioned to the nth degree. It's just all electromagnetic frequencies, girl.
So Tamara's like, yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if the noises were in her head. Since Krista's in her teeth, have to be saying something.
So Shannon's like, everyone, I just want everyone to come to my room. Please listen, please. I'm not crazy. There's a little girl coming out of the TV. In fact, I don't like her. She's being drawn to the electromagnetic box to hell. So please, everyone, please, you have to save me.
Also, you know what's hilarious? Is what Shannon's basically saying is, guys, this room is so close to an elevator, it will literally poison us to death. So I would like someone else to die, and I will take your room. Thank you.
So you guys take it.
Here's my pitch to you. Why don't you get poisoned by the electromagnetic frequencies, and I'll take your room and make sure you're remembered.
It just matters for me because I am allergic to electromagnetic frequencies.
Jeez.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So now they leave, and Emily shows off that she's got the Dior bag that Carmela gave her. And now they go to a restaurant called Carmela. It's like Carmela, yes, but with an A. We've been here before.
Huh. This is where the Next Gen New York cast went just last night on Bravo, because this is where Charlie got a reservation, and everyone was impressed that Charlie did something proactive for once, and a lady opened a door. They went through the back. It was amazing. So,
okay, so now Shannon's fine with going to a restaurant that you have to walk through a refrigerator to get to. This is all very picky what you're going to be afraid of.
Well, Dr. Moon says that some electromagnetic frequency is better than others, and the ones that give you a worse room in Vegas are the most toxic of all, unfortunately.
So now they order drinks, and Emily's like, oh my God, it's the Bellagio. That's where I got married. And Vicky goes, oh my God, you did? How did you know he was the one?
She's like, I still don't.
Mm-hmm. Oh, which is funny because they played that in the trailer, like, oh no, Emily's having a crisis in her marriage. I don't know if he's the right one. But in like reality, she's like, I don't know if he is. Anyway, pass the margaritas.
So they do a cheers, and Carmela's like, guys, I don't want to offend anybody by injecting insulin at the table. But let me, you know, it just started with anxiety and OCD the first time I got on a plane to go to the Playboy Mansion. I was really rather just shoot yourself up. Shut up. Jesus.
Gina does have a fair point.
All these women are like injecting themselves with so much shit that I don't think you're going to offend anyone. I think that's fair.
Truly.
That's so, going to be on the appetizer menu soon at restaurants, where you just go in, you're like, oh my God, I forgot my GLP-1 today. They're like, here you go. And I'll be the first person ordering it. So Tamara's like, Carmela, what are you whispering about? Insulin or something? Because like, are you talking about vibrators again?
Slut. Slut.
Did you bring those slutty things? And Jen's like, I want my own room if you brought me a dildo. So Carmela's like, yeah, I threw them all in the garbage. And Vicky's like, what? All the vibrators in the garbage? Like, you didn't share them with the girls? I told you, she's not a developer. She's a flipper. She takes the vibrators, she throws them out. She's a flipper.
And Shannon tells a story that the cleaning woman came up to her and said, we have a problem. And then she walked into her bathroom and all the vibrators were outside.
Isn't that funny? Oh, sorry. It's just a story that she tells us. It's a little, you know, when you're both from Rancho Santa Rancho, you share things with each other. Sorry, I guess I just have a buddy, Heather.
So,
oh, wow, look, you're talking for Carmela again. There's a big shocker. That's what Gina was thinking.
Oh, you know what? Okay, you know what? Gina, I wasn't going to bring this up right now because I'm afraid I have some brain fog due to the elevator poisoning, but I will now. The other night when we were having dinner, I did start speaking for Carmela because I felt badly for her. Whoa, look who's rubbing off on me now. Huh. And I did start speaking for Carmela, and I saw how upset she was because she didn't even participate. So that explains my reactions, okay?
Well, I understand all this from your perspective, but from my perspective, Carmela, like, could have used the opportunity, and as a woman, I love giving women opportunities to stand up for themselves against other women who are attacking them for no reason. So, I stand for women.
But, like, she did communicate. Well, it was like you were trying to communicate them for her, and, like, I hadn't even heard. What'd you say?
I'm sorry. I misunderstood what you were saying. And then so I jumped in. But like it's useless enough that we both say it.
Well, look, there's the electromagnetic radiation happening right now in your brain, Gina. I can hear you having conversation with yourself. You're losing it. Be careful.
And you got so angry, and then you shut me up. And I have every right to speak as much as I do. I felt like a person on a no H8 campaign with tape put over their face, like they're prisoners. That's actually a no hate campaign. That's good for gay people. Oh, well, I guess I misread that one. Yay gays. It hurt my feelings, Gina.
Well, last time I checked, the people who were making sure we couldn't speak out about issues were the elevator lobby. Anyway, you got so angry and you shut me up, and I have every right to speak as much as you do. And she was like, I never doubted that. I was just like trying to have a conversation with Carmela. And by having a conversation, I mean screaming at her baseless allegations and claims that were deeply rooted in my own paranoia. And then when she tried to say some things, I just doubled down.
But you were aggressive. You were aggressive. That's the 90th time someone has said that word today on this show.
So Heather's like, well, Carmela's at the end of the table. And she kept turning to me and saying, oh, my God. And I said, I know. It's the Chanel jacket I bought before my mother's. Am I right? And then she said, what is going on? And I said, oh, say it out loud then. But she felt like she couldn't talk.
Well, every time I tried to say something, it was like I'm fighting against you because listen, I'm not going to scream to get my point. I think everyone knows after 12 years on Bravo that it's well documented that I do not scream to get my point. Thank you very much.
Well, Shannon, I'm sorry. For that, I'm sorry. And I would just like to leave you with this. Ding! Oh, God! What's that, an elevator? Just fucking with you, Shannon. Just fucking with you.
I just want to say I definitely appreciate the support to step in the line of fire when it's like uncomfortable. So thank you, Shannon, and thank you, Gina. And like, I think they actually are both right here. I understand Gina's perspective and I need to be able to advocate for myself, but I really do have mad respect for Janet. Why do I call her Janet? Who the fuck is Janet? I mean, Shannon.
Have you been sleeping near the elevator bank? I think we really need to take her check, get her to the hospital, get her checked out.
I can't even move. My Botox is so tight. It's like ridiculous. Thank you, Shannon, not Janet, for sticking up for me. That is hilarious. I hope you frig yourself later with a little gift I left under your pillow.
Hey, bitch. Gina, what's wrong? You look like you glitched. What's going on? I feel like you have another fight in you. Do you have another fight? Fight, fight, fight.
She's like, oh my God. Okay, I need to clear the air on this one. Heather? First of all, you have shrimp cocktail in your hair. I feel bad. Get out of your hair. It was really bothering me. Like,
okay, it wasn't shrimp cocktail. It was the blood of Alfredo, but that's fine. Go on.
When we went to lunch with Carmel, by the way, everybody, welcome to a Gina fight episode. This is how it's done. All the people saying I don't do anything on the show, this is like multiple fights I'm having at a dinner table. Okay. Now, look, like, I have a problem, Heather. Like, when we went to lunch with Carmela, you were like, I don't like that you share a room with Emily. I have a real problem with that.
I was being honest about it. Just how I'm honest about how terrible this restaurant is because I'm having to hold my purse in my lap. Where is the stool?
You have a calamari in your hair. First of all, get the calamari out of your hair.
That's Alfredo's wedding ring.
Really, really difficult to talk to you. What was that?
That's Alfredo's wedding ring. I took it from him as down payment. Until he builds me a purse stool, I will hold it in my hair.
But I feel like when we all go somewhere, there's like a buddy system. You know, there's a debrief of the night and there's a debrief of what's going on.
Yeah, you guys think that, but all we do is eat gummy bears.
That's not true. But also, you're allowed to like be with your friend. This whole fight is stupid. You're allowed to go be with your friend and talk shit about other people. I hate standing up for Gina and Emily, but
no,
you're allowed.
This is Heather. As much as we understand why Heather is frustrated, because they do, I think, sit together and talk about what they're going to do on the show. But ultimately, you know, they are also friends. Like, you let them live. Let them share their room together. Keep the stupidity contained to one room, please. So yeah. Emily is like, she's like, well, this is what doesn't make sense to me. It's been 8 years that Gina and I have been sharing a room. And then all of a sudden, 8 years later. And Janet's like,
maybe it's the buddy thing. Is that the thing? Is it the buddy thing, Heather? You know, the little doll that ran away from you and like ripped itself out of a bottle. Your mother was mentioning something about ran away down a Chippewa freeway or something to get away from you. I don't know. I'm just taking stabs in the dark.
Please do not mention Chappaqua. So Emily is like, that town is too waspy for you, Jen, and it should not be in your mouth. So Emily is like, she's like, the bunny thing is not my problem.
But you don't ever pick her to stay with.
Well, she wouldn't want me to stay with her.
Heather, stop everybody. Heather, do you want to be invited just to stay the night for one night with them? Do you want to, Heather? Let's do that for Heather, everybody. Thank you so much. Can someone just invite Heather to stay in a room? That would be great.
This is still mortifying for Heather. Yeah, sure. That's like inviting the weird kid over to be on the sleepover. So Gina's like,
you're always invited. Everybody's invited. It just like bothers me because like it feels like you're like trying to control everything, Heather. And like, I don't want to feel micromanaged in my own things that I do on my trips or my relationships. And Heather goes, done. Done.
And that's
like Wendy Malick's career. Done. Done.
Yeah, that's a boundary. And as someone in real estate, I really understand boundaries now. So like put a little flag in it.
As someone who has a lot of acreage between each boundary on their estate, the boundary is set.
This is what's great. We're friends. We should be able to have these conversations together, which we just did, which I loved.
And next time you come by my house with an iron mug asking for change and you bang it against my front gate, I'll just say, that is my boundary. No solicitations, please.
Well, you talk about how you don't have a buddy, and then you said Gina and I are paired up, and Tamara and Vicky are paired up, and Shannon and Jen are paired up.
Shannon's like, well, I'm paired up with Heather. Oh, geez, thanks. That's great.
Yes, I am paired up with her, which is why it's so kind of her that my buddy will give me her room, and then she will sit next to the elevator of death. Right, buddy? Right, buddy?
Yeah, what are you talking about, Shannon? You're mad because she didn't even let you have the room you wanted.
Oh, God, no, Heather, no. Well, okay, well, Heather, I will be honest with you. As your buddy, what bothered me, Heather, there wasn't even a discussion. It was you were just telling me, oh, please, I swear to you, if you had said from the beginning, let's flip a coin, let's rock, paper, scissors, there are certain ways to do things, and you have to do them at the beginning before I've unpacked.
By the way, I'm sorry, Gina, for outing everything that's in your kitchen pantry. Rock, paper, scissors. Anyway.
How else am I supposed to roll dough?
Well, to me, it's like, you know, because, you know, by you not including me in the discussion of the rooms, to me, that is me demanding a nice room. But it's like, I'm just saying, I just wish we could have had a talk buddy to buddy, because that's what we are. Shannon and Heather, famously two of the best buddies on Bravo, iconically so.
We'll always be bosom buddies if you ever, for me, or my family ever again. And Jen's like, oh my God, I'm just so over this. You know what? I don't want to listen to it anymore. I want this time with my girlfriend. So if that means I've got to go to my room and pack up all my stuff, I'm going to do it. Shannon, just take my room. Just take my room. Gosh. Oh, thank you so much.
Wow. You know what, Jen? You're my new buddy. Heather, enjoy being out in the cold, bitch.
So Tamara's like,
yeah, we should go to the strip club tonight since, yeah, I'm still here. This is weird. We're having group dinner. I haven't even said anything.
And Carmela is like, oh my God, I haven't been to a strip club in like 20 years. Oh my God. Maybe they have amateur night.
Maybe we can showcase our moves. This will be hilarious.
So they're going to go into the strip club.
And Vicky's not, because, you know, Vicky is the biggest sex shamer on Bravo. And she's like, I'm going to the bathtub tonight. I'm going to love it. I'm going to the bathtub, not a strip club. I'm not a Debbie Downer.
And Emily goes, don't be a fuddy duddy. Oh my God. Looks like we have another nickname. Ha 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 ha.
And that brings us to the end of Real Housewives of Orange County.
There it is. Thanks everyone for being here. Ronnie, have a great time in Orange County. And we're going to talk to every single one of you on Monday for more Atlanta reunion and more ultimate girls trip. Well, I don't know which one's going to be on, if maybe both will be. And of course, Amazon Live.
What?
Yeah. They're both on. I just watched a Girls Trip screener and it was hilarious.
Great.
It was really, love really good. So I'm excited to recap that on Monday and we'll talk to you guys later. Have a great weekend.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
We never miss our call. It's Diane Call. Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
It's no BS. We love Hugo E.S.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our Palliger. It's Karen Gallagher.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Come again? We're obsessed with Margaret O'Halloran.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson. She's the lady of the house. It's Rachel Sharouse.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy. It's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP. It's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher. It's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish. It's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz. It's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it. It's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that. It's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
She eases our woes. It's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs. It's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.